This is True News. I'm Rick Wiles. United States Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts was recently found with a bloodied face. The incident happened on June 21st, but the Supreme Court never told anybody until late yesterday. America's top judge was hospitalized overnight. The Washington Post was the first news outlet to report the story. The Supreme Court released a statement saying, quote, the Chief Justice was treated at a local hospital on June 21 for an injury to his forehead sustained in a fall while walking for exercise near his home. The injury required sutures, and out of an abundance of caution, he stayed in the hospital overnight and was discharged the next morning. We have some questions. Where did the accident happen precisely? How did the Chief Justice trip and fall? What object caused the head wound? How many stitches were required to close the wound? Who saw the Chief Justice covered in blood? Why was this story covered up for several weeks? Edward Zoll and Doc Burkhardt have questions too. Let's start today's edition of True News. First thought came to my mind was Justice Scalia.
That's right.
Found dead in a bed in Texas in a hunting ranch with a pillowcase over his head or pillow
yes.
over his head. And ambulance never called, 911 never called, the police never called.
The funeral home was.
But they transported the body several hundred miles
yes.
with no no law enforcement and no medical examiners present to see the Justice Scalia's body before they left. That was the first thing that came to my mind. Here we have another mysterious injury to a Supreme Court justice, the Chief Justice. What we know is vague. The Washington Post said the incident happened on June 21st. The Supreme Court statement said that Justice Roberts suffered an injury during a fall as he was exercising during a walk near his home. The Washington Post article says it happened at the Chevy Chase Country Club in Chevy Chase, Maryland, Montgomery County. Okay, so was it near his home or was it on the grounds of the country club? Is the Chief Justice's home near the club? Did he walk from his house and enter the grounds of the country club? Is very vague.
Right.
We're talking about the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and it's the Washington Post article said that eyewitnesses saw him with a bloodied face. His head was covered in
blood. Yes.
His head was covered with blood. Now, am I the only one that finds this unusual? The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court was covered in blood?
Especially since any time Ruth Bader Ginsburg, burps, I guess, practically, they've got her in the hospital, and they're reporting it all over the media. Or any time, any of the Chief Justices, like Clarence Thomas or any of the others, have medical checkups, anything like that, and it's reported. And how they kept this quiet since June 21st, Rick, that's a real mystery here.
Well, there's a few mysteries with this.
And it concerns me.
Yes.
There's a few mysteries with this, and you mentioned Justice Scalia. Something I remember about that case back in February 2016 was that he didn't have his U.S. Marshal Protective Service with him. Remember, he was at this hunting lodge.
Justice Scalia. Yeah,
Justice Scalia I'm talking about here. And that Justice Scalia, so don't remember that, the Justice Scalia was at that ranch without his bodyguards. Mm-hmm. And at the same time that there was a secret society meeting on the grounds, the St. Hubertus.
The property belonged to the secret society.
That too, but they were also having their annual meeting at the same time that Justice Scalia was there without his protective guard. And in this case, where was Justice Roberts' protective guard? Were they the ones that found him? What would the justice not have?
That's a really good question. Where is the bodyguard to the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Does he just wander around outside in downtown Washington, or, you know, not downtown Washington, it's in suburban Maryland, Montgomery County. Chevy Chase is one of the most upscale communities in the state, not only state of Maryland, but in the United States of America. But does the Chief Justice just walk around unprotected at a time that we're having Antifa threats to, you know, to bring violence to people in the United States government? That's a really good question, Edward. Where were his bodyguards?
And if you think about this, we keep hearing about these witnesses who saw him. If this does occur outside, he fell. Let's say it's due to possibly a shock of some kind. We're now learning that the Chief Justice is susceptible and in the past has had instances of epileptic shocks. Is that correct? That's something we've learned today?
Well, something I learned today for the first time. Apparently, it's been in the media before that he's had several seizures in the past, one back in the 90s and another one as recently as 2007. He was actually questioned about it during his Senate confirmation hearings, and the senators weren't alarmed by it, weren't concerned about it or anything like that. But when you start considering those seizures and what has occurred here, you begin to ask yourself questions like, was this fall the result of a seizure? Was it just, I just tripped on something, hit a bench or something like that? Or did a seizure cause you to fall?
Edward's question about his bodyguard.
That's a great question.
To me, this rules out
foul play.
It rules out, well,
it deepens the mystery.
It deepens the mystery because it would mean that the Chief Justice was walking alone in the Washington metropolitan area at a time that we've had riots, we've had threats of violence. I just can't believe that the Chief Justice just would open up the door of his house and say, I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to take a jog. I want to read the Washington Post that said, the scene was apparently witnessed by some at the club.
Some.
So I'd like to know who the some.
Because it wasn't just one,
it's
more than one.
Yes. Whose list of politically connected members includes another justice, Brett Kavanaugh. The person who told the Post about the incident said Robert's head was covered in blood. Now, if you saw the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States of America and his head is covered in blood, that's not a trickle. I mean, covered in blood. Doc, if you trip and you hit your head on the corner, okay, you're going to have a gash. You're going to have blood running down.
Right.
Okay,
but you're not covered in blood.
You're not covered in blood. This person told the Washington Post he was covered in blood.
And when you would first see that, you would think of a dozen different possibilities what might have happened. Maybe there was an attack. Maybe he was shot. Maybe, you know, he was attacked
ambushed
with a knife. Anything that could have been
threatened.
And on the seizures, according to the statement from the spokesperson for the Supreme Court, his doctors ruled out a seizure. So that's off the table. Because based on their statement, they're saying that they've ruled out a seizure. And again, he was taken to a hospital, stayed overnight.
Right. But they said it wasn't a big deal.
So the Supreme Court is saying the fall was likely due to lightheadedness caused by dehydration.
Dehydration? He's not getting enough water? He's not drinking enough Gatorade? I mean, what's going on with the Chief
Justice?
He was
so dehydrated, he passed out, broke open his skull, and bled all over the place. That's what they're telling us.
All right, this is just getting weirder and weirder. Now, so he's at the country club. He's walking around without his bodyguards. Some people, so that means at least three or four, let's say, actually saw the Chief Justice and saw him bloodied up, and at least one verified he was covered with blood. This just gets weirder and weirder. Did the bodyguards come and get him, or were they on break? Or
did somebody see him staggering around, bleeding, lying on the ground, and they called the police? I mean, who found him? I want to know who found the Chief Justice. Who was the first person on the scene?
Right. And this isn't some associate circuit judge of the 3rd District or anything like that. I would want to know about that, too. This is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
We're not talking about Boss Hogg.
Right. We're talking about the point person on the Supreme Court.
Listen, Doc, listen to the two different statements here. The Supreme Court, the official statement from the Supreme Court, the Chief Justice was treated at a hospital. Which hospital? All right. They don't tell us.
Right. We had to figure that one out.
On June 21st, for an injury to his forehead sustained in a fall while walking for exercise near his home. Now, that's what the Supreme Court said. The Washington Post says Chief Justice John Roberts Jr. suffered a fall at a Maryland country club that required an overnight stay in the hospital. Near his home, on the property of the country club. Which one is it?
Could it be both? I mean, could it be the country club's near his home?
Yes, it could be. But according to the Washington Post, he had entered the property of the country club. So he wasn't just walking down the sidewalk near his house. He entered the property of the country club. Again, was he alone? The Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court is walking alone? And what time of day did it happen? It doesn't tell us.
And also with this, does the Chief Justice remember what took place? Because the statement is very vague. And remember, we have an eyewitness.
Like he doesn't know how he got a bloodied face?
Or he was knocked unconscious. And from reading from the statement from the spokesperson of the Supreme Court, they said that he received minor scrapes, but they went through a thorough neurological evaluation. If it's just a minor fall, no incapacitation, would you need to go through a thorough neurological evaluation?
Did anybody from Antifa ambush him and hit him in the head?
Is that why they didn't disclose this right away? Because that has not been answered yet. Why they kept that secret at a time that very important decisions, including the Louisiana abortion ruling, was being handed down. Is that why they kept this secret?
This is just weirder and weirder. And he was taken to a local hospital. And we had to find that out from another source, Suburban Hospital over in Bethesda. Which, according to the map, is just a few miles from Chevy Chase Country Club.
It's near the church that he attends.
Yeah, right, near the church of the Little Flower, Catholic church he attends. Mm-hmm. And so, but just a whole lot of, you know, mystery surrounding this, Rick. But this is the Chief Justice Supreme Court. Yes. If it was Nancy Pelosi, I'd want to know. If it was Mitch McConnell, I'd want to know. If it was Mike Pence, I'd want to know. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, I want to know if the guy's in the hospital.
Every time Justice Ginsburg is feeling ill, every time she's hospitalized, the whole world knows about it. It's no secret. Justice Ginsburg has never concealed her cancer, her health issues. She's never concealed it. And she's been hospitalized numerous times. Everybody knows she's in the hospital. But here we have the Chief Justice mysteriously bloodied and just the vaguest statements about it. That's why
it was an attack and they're keeping a low profile on it?
Yes. The question is, who attacked the Chief Justice? If it's not an attack, again, Where was he? Two different statements. One said near his home. Another said on the property of the country club. Exactly where did he fall? What did he strike? What's the object that his head struck? Okay. How deep was the wound? Why was his face covered with blood? Who were the witnesses who saw the Chief Justice? Who was the first person or persons who found him?
What was he wearing?
Was he conscious? Yes. What type of clothes was he wearing? Jogging clothes, or was he dressed to go in the country club? Okay.
Shouldn't there be a 911 call too? There's a lot of questions.
Precisely. Great question.
Was it from the Chevy Chase?
Where's the 911 call? Hello. The Chief Justice is lying on the ground. He's covered in blood. Was he conscious? Was he talking? These are all questions I would like to know. There's got to be a police report.
Yes, absolutely.
Would you not call the Capitol Police? The Secret Service?
I mean, these aren't just regular people who belong to this club who would have seen him, according to this eyewitness. These are the elite of Washington.
All right, so all right, we're just going to walk down a couple articles to try to go a little bit deeper into this story. The first one, this is number two. This story goes back to
February.
The next big abortion case comes down to John Roberts. Now, this again, this is February. It's referring to the Louisiana case that was just decided by the Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court ruled because of John Roberts voting pro-abortion, the Louisiana law that required abortion clinics in the state of Louisiana to have arrangements with local hospitals to admit patients.
Within 30 miles.
Within 30 miles. A very...
lenient, really.
Yes. And so he ruled against the state of Louisiana. He ruled in favor of the abortion clinics. But that story, that's February. The next big abortion case comes down to John Roberts. Well, that decision was issued just days after this mysterious attack.
Right.
Edward, what day was the Supreme Court? Do you know the day that they issued the decision on the Louisiana abortion law?
I believe it was on June 29th.
So eight days later.
8 days later.
All right, let's go to the next one. All right, so that is the next one coming up. Number three, Supreme Court in 5-4 ruling strikes down restrictive Louisiana abortion law. That just happened a week ago. John Roberts joined with the court's pro-abortion judges to rule in favor of abortion clinics. 8 days after he was found bloodied with no explanation. Now, who has anybody threatened? Has anybody threatened Supreme Court justices, physically threatened them, that if they vote pro-life, something bad would happen to them? Has anybody threatened Supreme Court justices?
You mean like terrorists, like anarchists? Is that what you're talking about?
Has anybody on the left issued a threat to Supreme Court justices and said, if you vote pro-life, we will get you. We will get you. I mean, do you remember a couple of years ago, back actually 2017, a U.S. senator saying, you know, the CIA's got seven ways to Sunday to get even with you if you mess with them.
Yes, I remember that.
Remember
the intelligence agencies had six ways to Sunday.
Six ways, yeah.
Six ways
I
to Sunday.
I added one.
So.
Six ways to Sunday.
Right. Out of that intelligence we don't know about yet.
Yeah, I threw an extra one in for the whole week. All right. So there was a guy that said, President Trump better watch out. The CIA's got six ways to Sunday to get even. Well, that same U.S. senator made a threat against Supreme Court justices if they voted pro-life. Let's take a look at number four. This is this is actually the video. Let's watch it. This is the video of the senator from New York making a threat.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
You won't know what hit you.
You'll
you
pay
mean
the
like
price.
Something in the forehead?
Senator Schumer, where were you on the night of June 21st?
Where were his hitmen? How about his hitmen?
Now, the threats, of course, were against Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, but...
Because they were the newest judges.
Right.
conservative justices.
But in this case, the abortion supporters knew how the vote was going to be.
Right. They knew that Gorsuch was going to vote pro-life. They knew Kavanaugh was going to vote.
But there was going to be a swing vote.
Yes.
John Roberts.
That's right.
And Schumer said, you won't know what hit you. Well, something hit John Roberts on June 21st at the Chevy Chase Country Club. And his face was bloody. Number five, this is a Bloomberg from March 5th. John Roberts, Chief Justice John Roberts, chastises Schumer for threatening statements. I mean, there was talk in those immediate hours and day or so after Schumer's threat that Schumer would be censored.
Censured, yeah, that's right.
In the U.S. Senate for threatening Supreme Court justices.
But was he?
No, he wasn't.
No, of course not.
He quickly retracted his words and got out of it. But he made threatening statements against Supreme Court justices if they voted for pro-life.
And I remember this story specifically, it was about incitement of violence. I mean, there was obviously the low percentage chance that Chuck Schumer himself might carry out such a threatening statement, but the point was is it was an incitement of violence. If it had been a statement against Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that's the argument that would have been made. And in this case, you think about the situation we're in. The statements made today, there are actual foot soldiers of anarchy out there who will happily carry this out in the name of murdering children, in the name of further expanding the rights of the anarchists in this country.
We see it here all the time. We have far-left groups that inflame their followers against me, and then we have a spike of death threats that come in against me. We have to go to the police. And we see the same pattern over and over, but the left groups, the far left political groups that do the inflaming, they do it in a way where they can say, well, we never called for violence.
Wash their hands.
We didn't call for violence. We have no role in the fact that person took it too far and actually carried out an attack.
We just painted the target on you.
So when Charles Schumer called for attacks on Supreme Court justices, if they vote pro-life, he was sending a signal to the far left, do what you have to do. That's what he was doing without crossing the line himself.
Right. Don't let them know what hit them.
You won't know what hit you. All right. Now, right after the June 21st incident at the Chevy Chase Country Club, in which the Chief Justice was covered in blood, there was another Supreme Court ruling, this one in favor of homosexual, lesbian, transgendered rights. In a landmark ruling, Supreme Court bars discrimination against LGBT workers. Edward, what was the date on this decision?
So this was actually right before the incident on June 21st.
So this came first.
This is June 15th.
June 15th, then June 21st is the attack, the incident. And then June 29th was the abortion vote.
All major, and this one more so, because this landmark ruling, as we reported it on, and when this happened, opened the door now for sleeper cells of morality to come into churches and to organizations, come out as some new identity under the sun, and then sue that organization, church, into bankruptcy for firing them.
Right. And John Roberts was the swing vote.
Once again.
Now, there's another big decision coming tomorrow. This one's huge. It's going to impact Donald Trump in a major way. If it goes against Trump, Trump's in deep trouble. I'm talking about his tax returns. U.S. Supreme Court rulings due Thursday on Trump financial record cases. So the House of Representatives under Nancy Pelosi let's see, who else has demanded?
There's a New York prosecutor.
New York prosecutors, the same ones that are going, the same ones that arrested
Ghislaine Maxwell.
Ghislaine Maxwell. are demanding Donald Trump's tax returns.
Think about that. I mean, don't believe in coincidence again. I mean, they're building a case against Donald Trump.
Yes, the same prosecutors in Manhattan who just arrested Ghislaine Maxwell are the same prosecutors who are waiting for the Supreme Court tomorrow to make a ruling on whether they get access to Donald Trump's tax records.
And one of these cases actually is in relation to hush payments. There's three specific subpoenas which were blocked by the Trump administration to hand over financial records. One of them is related to hush payments to the pornographic film actresses Stormy Daniels and the Playboy model Karen McDougal.
Yes, and there's something else that they're after. Germany's Deutsche Bank.
That's right. And we saw what happened yesterday.
What happened this week with Deutsche Bank?
They were fined $150 million, which is really a pittance against Deutsche Bank, but they were fined $150 million because of improprieties with the Jeffrey Epstein accounts.
Jeffrey Epstein.
That's right.
Which would mean Ghislaine Maxwell.
Right.
All this is coming together. Deutsche Bank. So the prosecutor said Deutsche Bank officials, I didn't see the terms money laundering, but they said that they covered up improprieties involving.
There were red flags. They didn't stop transactions.
That's right.
But you think about that, for me and you, if we were helping facilitate the payments or the transfer of money for a local gang, would we not be drug into that case as, if not associates, actual responsible parties in the crime? Or in Deutsche Bank, they just get to pay the service fee. I mean, $150 million fine is a lot of money, but by getting to pay the fine and not actually face prosecution, they bought their way out of a crime.
Yes, but we don't know what they had to agree to provide to get out of the trouble that they were in. And they may have turned over records.
Ooh.
Deutsche Bank records involving Donald Trump.
Both Jared Kushner and Donald Trump used Deutsche Bank.
Right. So there's a lot of stuff coming down this week. Many reasons why somebody would want to physically attack the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Here's another one. We've shown you this one multiple times. This is the Jeffrey Epstein flight log showing a John Roberts as a passenger on the Lolita Express pedophile plane. We don't know the identity of this John Roberts. It's not John Doe, it's a John Roberts. But as we have pointed out many times, Mr. Epstein didn't waste his time with non-influential men. He was on a mission. His mission was to entrap powerful, influential men in America so that they could be blackmailed on behalf of the state of Israel. So how many powerful, influential John Roberts are in the United States of America?
I can only think of two.
The other one is a Fox News reporter. And I seriously doubt that Jeffrey Epstein was after him. But the Supreme Court justice, now that would be
quite the catch.
Quite a catch for him. And nobody's asked John Roberts, the Chief Justice, were you on the Lolita Express pedophile plane with Jeffrey Epstein?
Well, there's another interesting situation with this now, Rick, is now that it is public knowledge that John Roberts is susceptible to seizures and, you know, accidents. And this would have been after documented cases of those accidents, one being in Maine that we've now learned about from the Washington Post. Did John Roberts, and if he was on this plane, did he bring an attaché of U.S. Marshals for protection? And did he bring a doctor? Did Jeffrey Epstein allot for medical care if needed? Because if John Roberts was going to the island and was on the plane, wouldn't you think that they would also have to provide the potential for a treatment of a seizure?
What was the flight? What was the date of the flight?
It was 2010, I believe, in February, if the flight log is correct.
2010?
Yes.
Or was it 11? I'm trying to remember.
I've seen reports of 2011 on the flight log. If you can put it back up, at the top left corner, it appears to say 2010.
2010. And, of course, at this time, Barack Obama was in the White House. He was trying to push Obamacare. There were legal challenges to Obamacare.
Oh, I see. It's actually 2011, right? The middle of the page, 2011, January.
Yes.
That's it, January 10th.
January 2011. Somebody should ask the Chief Justice if he is the John Roberts identified on the flight log of Jeffrey Epstein's jet.
And I want to know, at every public event that John Roberts goes to and has gone to over the last 20 years, has he had to have medical personnel there specifically in the event that he has some kind of seizure?
And if that's true, where was that doctor on June 21st?
That's right.
Okay, we thought about something today as we were going over all this. Took us a few minutes to remember what it was, because the internet has been sanitized so much, it's difficult to find things on the internet now. Things that I remember in my, I'm not having a Mandela effect moment, things that I remember happen. And then we search, it's like, where is it? Google has purged the records. You can't find it.
Or at least purged the search, because
yes,
we were able to find it, but we had to go around the long way to get there.
They hide it. Anyhow, what we were thinking about was, we knew that a couple years ago there was a story that Chief Justice John Roberts was called to the Supreme Court on a weekend. I think it was on a Sunday.
Yes.
It was a holiday. It was during a break. And he made an emergency visit to the Supreme Court alone to make a ruling. And he heard the arguments in secret.
Yes.
And we were trying to remember, what was that issue? Well, we found it. We'll put this one up on the screen. So, Edward, what's the story behind this one?
So Chief Justice John Roberts went in to issue a temporary pause on an order holding an unnamed foreign government-owned company in contempt. And this is the actual copy in the article, over a mystery court case related to Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. Now, the order was going to put a hold on a contempt citation issued by a D.C. federal judge. Now, any kind of case like this that requires escalation goes directly to the Chief Justice, so John Roberts in this case, and it was related to a grand jury subpoena it had received. And the stay was going to hold it until December 31st. This was until all the justices could review this case from a foreign government-owned company being held in contempt.
So Special Counsel Mueller was on the trail of some criminal activity that involved a powerful, influential, rich person in another country.
Yes.
A John Doe in another country who was involved in the Mueller investigation of Donald Trump. And so there was an emergency action to prevent that man's name from being revealed to the public. And you pointed out, Doc, it wasn't just a weekend.
Right.
It was
holiday weekend.
A holiday weekend and a two-week break.
Yes. They were on a holiday. It was the end of the year. It was the last couple of weeks of December. And so they were finishing up the year. This was, you know, super unusual. First, that he came in on the weekend, because I remember that night. I think we even texted back and forth.
We were
kind of going, did you hear what's going on? Justice Roberts has gone to the Supreme Court. And how that information got out, I wasn't even sure. But we'd heard about that. And then we found out about the mystery company, and we were trying to figure out who the mystery company was that was trying to prevent the release of information. And so there was a whole bunch of questions surrounding this secret case with secret decisions and sealed documents.
And it never did come out.
Right.
And then the interesting thing with her, with the secrecy, just to explain the secrecy a little further, the case in question began in September. The lengths at which the federal court, I'm talking about the federal court and the Supreme Court, went to keep the identities of both the lawyers and the unnamed company out of the public eye, they actually shut down an entire floor of the D.C. federal courthouse. They locked it down with security. And this was on the morning of the company's appeal argument. So the lawyers entering and leaving weren't seen. An entire floor was shut down for this.
So nobody, there were no witnesses of who came in to argue the case. Now, what information could have been presented that required that kind of secrecy? And who has the power to do that? Who has the power to force the Supreme Court to lock down an entire floor to prevent eyewitnesses from seeing the lawyers who are arguing the case?
Well, there are only so many countries involved in Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller's investigation, obviously Russia being one, but they weren't afraid for Russia to be out there.
They were going after Russia.
They were going after Russia, so they're happy for that to be out there. There were mentions of England due to the case that Robert Strunk started, the Ukraine, too.
Yes. Israel.
Israel would be one that would have some influence. Saudi Arabia is another.
Saudi Arabia.
But really, Saudi Arabia stayed mostly out of the Robert Mueller probe. It was Israel, the country that stayed in the probe, but out of the public release.
Right. Okay, so this afternoon I told Edward and Doc about something I remembered happening, something that happened back in 2002 when George W. Bush was in the White House. And it was a trio of odd events. If I recall, it all three happened like within a span of 2, maybe 3 weeks. First of all, President Bush was found, he was photographed with a bruise on his face. There we go. This is 2002. President George Bush fainted after choking on a pretzel. How many of you remember this story?
I remember this story.
Do you?
Yes.
Yeah, these are the good old days of True News, Doc. Boy, yes. I tell you what, we had some great shows back then.
Because President Bush always provided some sort of news item like this every once in a while, a Bushism. Who chokes on a pretzel? Who faints choking on a pretzel?
Eating a pretzel? Have you ever fallen off a sofa eating a pretzel?
And if you're on a sofa, most sofas, I don't know how your sofa is at your place, Rick, but mine are pretty soft. And so when I hit them.
Well, just how hard do you have to hit while eating a pretzel? Did he go into convulsions? So anyhow, that happened in 2002. I tried to find articles on Dick Cheney and Colin Powell. I could not find them. They've been scrubbed from the internet. But I recall vaguely one of them, and I don't know if it was Vice President Cheney or Colin Powell. One of them had his arm in a sling. And I think the other one maybe had an injury to his leg. I don't recall. But within a span of 2 to 3 weeks, George W. Bush fainted, eating a pretzel, got bruised on his face. Dick Cheney was injured, and Colin Powell was injured. It was a strange week. And no explanation of how that happened. But it was the year before the Iraq War started. It was months after September 11 and months before the start of the war. Perhaps somebody helped George Bush and Dick Cheney and Colin Powell help them make the decision you're going to invade Iraq.
Yes.
Maybe they didn't agree with the strategy.
Need a little nudge.
Yeah.
Off a couch in the Oval Office.
Maybe killing 3,000 Americans in the World Trade Center made their stomachs queasy, knowing what happened. Maybe just knowing the truth of what happened. I'll never forget George W. Bush's guilty look on his face when his chief of staff walked up to him in the elementary school when he was sitting there and pretended to whisper in his ear, a plane has hit the World Trade Center. And Bush had that guilty look. He just had a guilty look on his face. I saw it live that moment, and I knew he knows something. When it happened, I knew it. But anyhow, that's a different story. But maybe George Bush and Dick Cheney and Colin Powell just didn't have the stomach to go on and keep killing people on behalf of a powerful entity, a powerful force. Maybe somebody beat them up, twisted their arm, tied their leg around their neck. You know, maybe somebody met John Roberts at the Chevy Chase Country Club and said, we're going to tell you how you're going to vote on abortion. Or maybe, maybe it was, hey, if your name is revealed in Jeffrey Epstein, you better keep your mouth shut. All right? We don't know. Somebody, I personally think somebody beat up the Chief Justice. That's my own personal view. I just don't believe he just tripped and fell and had a bloody face, because the statement's too vague and they covered it up.
Yes, they covered it
up. If he fell, it would be, if you were the Chief Justice and you fell, you would tell your aides, hey, get a statement out. Tell them I was jogging, I tripped over a vine. I fell, I hit a rock. I'm fine, I'm okay, got some stitches.
That's it, the hospital, I'm done.
Yeah, so. Yeah, don't let any rumors start. Don't let any rumors start. Tell them what happened. Isn't that what you would do? That's what I would do. I wouldn't keep it covered up for a couple of weeks.
So because all these mysteries.
Well, the other mystery that, you know, Doc brought this out the other day, where is Ghislaine Maxwell's mugshot? We're told she was arrested, 150 FBI agents. Didn't anybody take her?
They had drones over the house. I mean, this was a major operation.
They took her to the county jail.
Yes, and now they've transported her to Brooklyn.
What's the first thing that they do at the county jail?
They book them.
They book them, and what do you do when you book them?
You take their fingerprints.
Put them in a jumpsuit, and you take a photo of them.
Yeah. And then you put it on the website. Put it on the sheriff's department's website. Well, there are no mugshots of Ghislaine Maxwell, but Doc found one.
I did. I found one yesterday.
All right, so we're going to show it to you.
Oh,
there it is.
There you go. Here's a mugshot.
There's a mugshot of Ghislaine Maxwell.
That's the only mugshot you're going to find of Ghislaine Maxwell right now, because it is nowhere to be found. That for whatever, I don't even know if she's arrested, Rick. I really don't. How do you know?
I think she's arrested.
Maybe she is, but everybody else. I mean, if you get picked up on a DUI, they take your picture.
Yes.
I mean, you know. So what's the deal? That tells me two things: either this is all just a big old fake thing going on, or she made a deal, and her lawyers made a deal with the New York prosecutor
before she was arrested,
to say keep my picture out, and you know I'll give you whatever you want. Keep my picture out of things. And they said, okay, we can do that. We can fix that.
How long has it been since Jeffrey Epstein died?
It's been a year.
August.
And during that year, nobody searched for Ghislaine Maxwell?
Come on.
No, it took the year for the prosecutors to work out the deal. And once the deal was made, then they arrested her, but she knew that they were coming to arrest her because she had already agreed to the plea bargain.
Yes.
The plea bargain being she's going to point to Donald Trump, provide evidence, and then she will be rewarded as a state's witness, and she will not be prosecuted. And none of the other crimes she has committed in the past 30 years will ever be brought against her. That's my opinion of what's going on.
And if you add to that all the strange activity from Alan Dershowitz and then the fine against Deutsche Bank yesterday, all these things happening all at once in the orbit of Donald Trump.
Yes. And a Supreme Court justice, Chief Justice, with a bloodied head.
Yes.
And he's ruling tomorrow on Trump's taxes.
Yes.
All right. Hey, is there a presidential election this year?
Yes.
Is this strange?
About 100 days.
There's one scheduled, whether it happens or not.
But aren't there two conventions this summer?
I don't know. Are there? Are they still on? Are they still having a convention or not?
When's the Democratic Party virtual nominatings? shindig? I mean, I have no idea. There's no news.
Right.
If I wanted to watch it, when is it? Do you know?
I don't know.
Is it going to be streamed live? Live from Joe Biden's basement? What does this look like? Do you have any idea?
It's in August. It's supposed to be at least scheduled August 17th to the 20th. That's the Democrats. And then the Republicans is also supposed to be in August.
Okay, but the Republicans are going to be an in-person physical convention in Jacksonville.
With digital outreach from it, they said. So, okay.
But there's just no talk about.
Yeah, the last major talk we heard about the Democrats one is burning it down. Remember the videos about the Bernie Sanders staffers saying they're going to burn down Milwaukee if Bernie Sanders doesn't get the nomination?
Yeah, but they got the party. Joe Biden today
called to defund the police.
He's defunding the police, and he also endorsed Bernie Sanders' climate change agenda. Mm. So
we got Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, right. You got Bernie Sanders' socialist agenda. The real battle in the Democratic Party is for the vice presidential nomination.
Right.
Joe Biden's just a placeholder. That's all he is. He's a placeholder.
Because he's either going to die or step down, one of the two.
Yes. He won't even know where he's at in the White House. He won't know. He's senile. Right? And everybody knows it, but they're just going to go ahead and nominate him. The real battle is for vice president on the Biden ticket, because that person's going to move up very quickly.
Right.
Or at least be the real president while Joe Biden's sitting in the chair twiddling his thumbs. But there's just no excitement about it. And look at Donald Trump. He had one rally. It was a disaster. There's no enthusiasm. Nothing's happening. He's down in the polls. My guess, if you had an election tomorrow, I think Donald Trump would maybe get 38%, 39%, maybe 40% if the vote was tomorrow. I'm not calling for this. I'm just telling you from a lifetime of political involvement, that's what I sense in my gut. There are times when you just know there's going to be a landslide. Mm. Right now, as of today, there's going to be a Democratic landslide. If they can keep Joe Biden locked up in his basement.
And not say anything. Just don't talk, Joe.
That's right. Campaign in absentia is his best route.
Wasn't it President McKinley who campaigned from his porch?
From his front porch.
He never left his porch. And people went to his house.
Couple of rallies right there on the porch.
Yeah, he told them what he would do if he was president, but he never left his porch, and he won. Yeah, and then he died in office, and Teddy Roosevelt became president.
That's right.
So that maybe that's what we're about to see here.
So, is there an opening for a third party candidate, an alternative candidate?
Well, strange that you brought that up, Doc. Edward and I were having this conversation yesterday in my office, and I said, Edward, this election is so bizarre that if a wealthy person, deep pockets, name recognition, showed up on the scene and said, I'm running as an independent, that man or woman would have a very good chance to win the White House. Because nobody, when I say nobody, few people are excited about Trump or Biden.
Right.
Right now, Trump is so yesterday. And Biden's like, so yesterdecade.
Yesteryear.
Decade, yeah. Okay? Nobody in the Democratic Party is excited about Joe Biden.
I mean, people remember him, the women whose hair has been sniffed.
Yes.
But there's really no, you know, nobody out there that really kind of fills in that gap. There's no name that comes to mind that says, man, he'd make a great candidate for president.
Well,
is there?
Somebody showed up. Since our conversation yesterday, Edward, who said he's running for president?
Billionaire rapper Kanye West. Folks, I don't think I'd ever have to say that. Okay.
Don't laugh this off. Kanye West announces he will run for president this year. Don't write it off. People wrote off Donald Trump in 2015. all the way up until October, going right up to Election Day. Remember the left-wing media and the Democratic politicians saying there's no way Donald Trump could win the White House. Hillary has won. Donald Trump is a joke. He can't win. I will tell you right now, do not write off Kanye West as an independent candidate for president of the United States. This is going to be a crazy, whacked out, bizarre election. And if he gets into the race, he's a billionaire. He certainly could fund a campaign. With a three-way race, Biden, Trump, and West, you only need 33% of the vote to carry a state and get the electoral votes. You don't need 51%. You need 33%, 33.5%. All you have to do is you're splitting the vote three ways. This guy could carry California. He could carry, I think he would win Florida.
He can actually campaign. Think about this. President
and
Trump.
And sing.
And sing, too. It'd be like a concert. President Trump can't hold rallies throughout the country, both due to the shutdowns, but also because it's become a referendum on him. There's real hatred against the president. Joe Biden can't hold rallies and events, one, because he can't get people to show up, and two, every time he opens his mouth, he shows how unprepared physically he is for the job.
I thought Kanye West, though, was a fan of President Trump. I mean, in that picture, he's wearing a Make America Great Again hat.
He was. Let's put number 13 up. This is from Billboard. Kanye West has a cool slogan, but no actual paperwork on file in presidential run, meaning he hasn't legally become a candidate. He's saying that he's going to run. But until he files documents with the Federal Election Commission, he's not an official candidate. But how does he feel about Donald Trump right now? I thought they were friends.
He says he's broken with him in that he doesn't believe the president has carried out much of which he promised to do. And specifically, because there was an interview, Rick, that was published this morning, Kanye West said he did not like that President Trump was caught and went down and hid in his bunker during the siege of the White House.
Mm-hmm.
So that showed real weakness. Among this, he said that it's not been a revitalization of the country. There hasn't been a revival in both the defense of minorities and even of justice. He has lost faith in the president.
And, of course, Kanye West has this huge following, huge fan base of young people. one of our control room guys sent me a message, you know, Kanye West, he'll make America gangster again. I mean, bring that to the forefront. And so he does, have some power behind him. He's got money. He's got a fan base. He has the ability, not necessarily to get elected, but maybe to radically impact the Electoral College.
Doc, if you have a three-way race and Trump and Biden fight it out for the senior citizen vote. Okay? I mean, they're both going for the senior vote.
Right.
What happens if Kanye West takes everything else?
Even at a protest vote, think of all that segment of the population, too. So I don't want Donald Trump. I don't want Joe Biden. I'm ready for anything, including a rapper.
Why did we vote for Trump in 2016?
We saw him as the outsider candidate. As
a way to tell the establishment.
Take a hike.
Take a hike.
Yeah.
We're done. We're fed up with you. What I'm saying is I think the public is at a place right now. They've lost hope that Donald Trump could be the person who would change the country.
He's become the establishment.
Yes, and he surrounded himself with swamp critters, and I don't think they're happy with the Democratic Party. Somebody comes in from a third direction, yes, I think he could win the election. I'm not ruling out Kanye West.
And he's not, when you think of Kanye West, you don't think of him as a Democrat. You don't think of him as Republican. So he doesn't have that baggage with him. I'm not endorsing Kanye West. I'm just telling you, you know, if you're looking at it as a possibility, as an alternative, Donald Trump and Joe Biden, for a lot of people, he would have great appeal.
Look, let's put number 15 on the screen, because you might be surprised who's already endorsed him. Go ahead, Edward.
That's Elon Musk. That's the real Twitter account for Elon Musk. He said when Kanye West on July 4th announced this, that he said, "We must now realize the promise of America by trusting God, unifying our vision, and building our future." And he said, "I'm running for president of the United States." Elon Musk said, "You have my full support." And
wait,
he wasn't trolling.
Wait a minute. Kanye West said, "We must realize the promise of America by trusting God." And Elon Musk says, "You have my full support."
Yes.
I'm not proposing this, but, you know, if Kanye West chooses a vice presidential running mate, I mean, what if he chose Elon Musk or Mark Cuban?
Or Tucker Carlson.
Kanye West and Tucker Carlson? Oh, Biden and Trump better just go home.
And that's what Kanye West asked them to do, by the way. He wants them to gracefully bow out.
I like that confidence.
That sounds like something Trump would say.
Y'all just need to, step back. So.
And there, I'm sure there's staffers on both of those campaigns that are just hoping that the fact that Kanye West has missed some of the deadlines, both for registration and for even registering to be on the ballot in some of the states, that would be a holding obstacle. But
yes,
because of the coronavirus.
But Kanye West could go to the Constitution Party and ask for their nomination. I mean, it's a good group, but they've never had a chance to win an election. I don't know how many ballots they're on right now, maybe 30, 35 states. Kanye West would immediately be on the ballots of two-thirds of the states of the nation.
Yes, that's right. It's enough to at least sway it in the Electoral College candidates' vote. And also there's a possibility if...
A deadlock.
And in addition to that, what if President Trump stepped down? And we don't know the extent of the scandals that are to come. We don't know what the Bully Bush tape is going to be in October.
The Republicans are not going to nominate Kanye West.
We said that about President Trump, too.
I know, but there's a reason they're called the Stupid Party. they've earned that title, Stupid Party. They're not going to do anything brash. They'll nominate Mitt Romney.
Play it safe.
They'll get Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney. There's your ticket, Romney and Cheney. They're going to do something right out of the old Republican boring playbook.
The lose is what they're
picking.
It's the Jeb Bush ticket.
They like losing.
Okay.
The Republicans like losing.
Well, their constituents don't seem to.
Right.
That's why they picked President Trump in 2016.
Kanye West threatens the Democrats.
Yes.
By leading the black vote away from Joe Biden. And you've got prominent black citizens now calling Joe Biden a racist, a bigot.
Well, he was a segregationist. I mean, he endorsed segregation early in his political career.
Yes, he did.
No one seemed to call him out on that, but he did.
Well, there are some black leaders who are calling him out on it right now. So if you had somebody like Kanye West running a credible race, you could see millions of black Democrats voting for West and just abandoning the Democratic Party.
And Rick, I'd expand on it and say it may not just be African-Americans. It could be large swaths of both bases and those who don't even vote.
He'll get the Hispanic vote, too.
There were a couple flash polls. I haven't been in any official polls yet, but I'd say that the flash polls on Twitter actually tell at least a temperature check, because you have to have an account and you can't double vote on these.
All right, take a look at this, Rick.
These are polls which happened right after July 4th. The top left poll was 129,000 votes, okay? 24% of those went to President Trump, 35% went to Joe Biden, 27.1% went to Kanye West as an independent. That's a poll with 129,000 people voting.
Put him in second place.
Second place. Not even on the ballot. Not even registered in second place.
Rick, look at that fourth one, too. That's the Libertarian candidate pulling a 14 percentage point out of a poll. I've never seen those numbers among Libertarians before.
Which shows you just how terrible the two official candidates are.
That people are running from the main parties.
And I don't even know who he is.
Right.
Right. And then you look at this, the second one down there in the bottom left, you have Kanye West. This is a poll with 83,000 that voted in it. 30% went to Kanye West. 32% went to President Trump. 37% went to Joe Biden. Now, the first one, obviously, Kanye West beat President Trump.
This would be like the 1860 election, wouldn't it?
You better believe it. And what you got to understand here, okay, this is nationwide.
Yes.
But elections for president aren't decided on a national vote.
Yes.
They're state by state.
That's right.
And if Kanye West starts winning particular states and he captures states and he gets the electoral votes, he could win the White House or prevent anybody from winning the White House, and the election is sent to the House of Representatives.
Right, because the Electoral College would be deadlocked, couldn't make a decision, and so. And do you want the House of Representatives deciding the next president?
That lower poll proves what I'm saying about a three-way race. There's such a small margin, small spread between the three candidates. They're all in the 30% range.
Yeah, this is an incumbent president and a man, and I'm talking about Biden here, that has been running, really, since President Trump was elected.
Biden, okay, I grew up in Maryland. I knew of Joe Biden when I was in high school.
Wow.
I knew Joe Biden when he had hair. When his real hair,
his real hair.
That's butt hair that he's got right now. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Okay. I did. Okay.
Well, I think that is true, isn't it?
It is.
Oh, my goodness.
Butt hair Biden. Okay. So, why are you looking at me, dog?
It's all right.
I already said it.
I don't disagree.
All right. So they took hair off his rear end, and they put it on his head. That's the truth, okay? So he grew hair up there.
Back there first.
But I'm just saying, I remember Joe Biden. I should have said, when he had hair. I knew Joe Biden when he was bald. Okay, because if you knew him as a U.S. senator from Delaware back in the 70s, he was bald. He's been around forever.
Yes.
As documented by the amount of women who've come forward alleging sexual abuse.
Yes. He's been around forever. He's lost every time he's run for president. Every time. He's been trying to be elected president. I've lost track how many times this guy's run for president.
Before I was born.
People are bored with him. They're still bored with him. But they're now burned out on Trump. I would say the viewpoint on Trump is a disappointment. You got two groups. One who hate him and another group that's very disappointed. And then you have the diehard Trump voters who... they would vote for him for any, doesn't matter what comes out about it. But I think a lot of people are just burned out. And they will either stay home or they'll do another Trump-like vote, which is vote for the most radical, most unlikely candidate that's in the election.
And one of the risks that both Joe Biden and Donald Trump face is that they may vote not out of protest even for Kanye West, but because they actually agree with some of the things Kanye West wants to do. And what I mean by this, some may think, what could Kanye West want as president? Well, Kanye West going to nationalize the music industry? Is he going to do something crazy with Cadillacs and other things? No, he has a serious platform. There was an interview he did with Forbes magazine, and I almost fell out of my chair reading the things that Kanye West has quoted as saying. Now, the story I'm talking about is number 17 for Control. This is an interview. Excerpts were published by Forbes. They sent their chief content officer and editor, Randall Lane, to conduct a four-hour interview with Kanye West. This is after the four-day weekend for 4th of July. And what Kanye West said in this interview, it was split up on the specific topics. Now, the first one was on the coronavirus cure. Kanye West told Forbes, "We pray for the freedom. It's all about God. We need to stop doing things that make God mad.
All right. That's Kanye West, Rick.
That's, he's talking more Christian than Donald Trump.
Oh, and it gets better on vaccines. It's so many of our children that are being vaccinated and paralyzed. So when they say the way we're going to fix COVID is with a vaccine, I'm extremely cautious. That's the mark of the beast.
Whoa. Kanye West said the vaccine is the mark of the beast?
I'm extremely cautious. That's the mark of the beast. This is Kanye West in Forbes. He goes on to say they want to put chips inside of us. They want to do all kinds of things to make it where we can't cross the gates of heaven. I'm sorry when I say they, the humans that have the devil inside them. And the sad thing is that, and he repeats, the saddest thing is that we all won't make it to heaven, that there'll be some of us that do not make it. And he says, next question. What a statement.
And the next question is one that intrigues me because they asked him about abortion. And Kanye West, this is Kanye West now, I am pro-life because I'm following the word of the Bible. Okay. Planned, and this is, get this one, Rick. Planned Parenthoods have been placed inside cities by white supremacists to do the devil's work.
Okay,
this is Kanye West.
I am politically and spiritually in line with Kanye West.
Is this an endorsement, Rick?
Let's say I'm intrigued. Now that I'm hearing that he's saying this, I mean, Donald Trump has never said anything like this.
He's afraid to.
How can the evangelicals stick with Donald Trump if Kanye West is saying the things that you just quoted?
I don't think they will. I mean, if you think about what happened in
2016. I think the leaders will stick with Trump.
That happened in 2016, you remember?
Yes.
The leaders were sticking with Cruz. The base went with President Trump.
That's right.
The congregation, really, not the base, the
That's
congregation.
Right. Wow. Would this be the most amazing thing that would happen in the United States of America?
It'd be running for the craziest thing happened in 2020.
And is campaigning, telling people that they're attempting to, that Bill Gates is attempting to implant Mark of the Beast in people with a vaccine.
All right. So let's do another one. Prayer in schools. Okay. So this is Kanye West. Reinstate in God's state and God's country the fear and love of God in all schools and organizations, and you chill the fear and love of everything else. So that was a plan by the devil to have our kids committing suicide at an all-time high by removing God, to have murders in Chicago at an all-time high because human beings working for the devil removed God and prayer from the schools. That means more drugs, more murders, more suicide.
I'm becoming more intrigued. The more I hear, the more interested I am. Because I've been looking for some sign that the Holy Spirit is going to move in America in an unexpected way to prevent this country from committing mass suicide. Because right now we're headed towards mass suicide.
Yes, the civil war and conquer. We might be conquered in the direction we're going.
I see we have a video here of him talking about his album, Jesus is King. It's 7.5 minutes long. Is this a good video? Good
yeah,
video
so
to hear?
What I tried to put together, because I'm sure there's people watching this where they're saying, Kanye West? What do you mean Kanye West said this? Kanye West doesn't talk like that. All I've heard is him maybe cursing or doing some kind of rap, gangster rap. I found this because last year he came up with an album. Jesus is King is the name of the album. Many scoffed at it. He started holding a Sunday service, started doing things that Christians do, people who are getting saved do. Many scoffed at it, but I said, we're going to keep an eye on this. I went through one of the interviews he did last year when this was happening. And in this interview, Rick, he actually talked about what was going on in his head. The same thoughts that appear to have spurred him now to announce a candidacy for president based on bringing prayer back in school, getting rid of abortion, and saying that mandatory vaccines would be the mark of the beast.
All right, I got to see it now. We'll make this the last segment for today's program. Let's watch this. This is an interview with Kanye West talking about his album, Jesus is King. And when it's over, we'll be back with our closing remarks.
We were one of the people that was like, man, we got to play this record. And in the record, you told us, if I talk about Jesus, my record won't get played. It was almost like you almost dared us to. Now, when you hear Jesus is King, why did you make this particular album?
Because Jesus is King. I was making I Love It a year ago. I had denounced Christ. And God brought me the hardest year of my life and said, are you ready, my son?
What's the hardest year? What does that mean?
Come on, man. I'm like, Trump hat, slavery's choice. Man, that's a lot on my health. I already got HSP. I already been diagnosed. Mm-hmm. Then you add that, and I'm sitting in a plank position on every question. I can't find out the answer. Like, man, it's a lot. I mean, I'm a human being. Even though I can channel art, I work for Christ. God has supernatural powers. He can cover all of this, but I still am human. And when I was serving my ego, mm-hmm. and serving my legacy, serving my culture, serving my city, all this kind of stuff, I am a 6-star, I'm an 1800-star Michelin chef that I know for a fact. The game Angry Birds has emotion like this. And if you remember, girls are just not known for playing a lot of video games. This game was popular with girls. It was a scientific calculation that this set off a certain dopamine specifically in the female mind. What else go like this?
Tinder. What else?
Instagram. So the funny thing is the people that control that, rappers be talking about, I got your bitch. Instagram got your bitch. Mm-hmm. Instagram got your bitch. Like, I'm sorry, I know my Christian scorecard just went down for using a profane piece of language. You ain't got your Instagram, got all y'all, because they're going to do it for the gram before they do it to you. They're going to send a picture to the gram before they send it to you. Social media doing more to hurt families than it is to help families, and families are the key to health. I told you I'm only afraid of God. I'm only afraid of my daddy, God. Mm-hmm. I done been 15 years. I'm telling you, God is showing that you can have your own thoughts, bro. I've been canceled before there was cancel culture. Who told you that my career would be over? The same people that are telling you that you can't have a right to say who you will vote for, those people will be soon to take Jesus out of school. Those people will be soon to remove Jesus, period, from America, which is the Bible Belt. Those people will be soon. Man, come on, man. I ain't finna go Alex Jones level on y'all, man. Come on, man. What y'all want? Like, wake up. Wake up, Mr. West. Wake up, culture. Wake up. Everybody think they so woke, but they following the rules of what woke's supposed to be. And I love me. And I love Christ. And y'all should love to see this. I'm not gonna tell y'all what y'all should do. I'm just doing what I do. If you love it, then cool. If y'all want to rap me, it ain't going to make a difference. Honestly, I done been killed so many times on social media, and I'm still here. I'm still talking. Look at me.
Do you care?
I told you I care about everything. How you
perceived, which could be a crazy word, perceived, as far as like how people look at you. Do you care about that?
I need people to just, I don't even need anything. I'm praying that people can see that Jesus won the victory. When I was making raps in service to the devil, talking about you a hoe, I love it, all this, I was in debt. Now that I'm in service to Christ, God is showing off. He's showing off in my life. He's showing off in my family.
Is it a rap album, gospel album, or is it an album that you can't categorize?
It is a rap album. I mean, as you might have heard, there was times where I said, I don't know if God want me to rap. I was thinking,
I heard you say with your pastor that you felt like you were making devil's music.
Yeah, because you're such a I love it. Excuse me, Christian scorecard down a little bit, cursing some more. But I got to a point where I was always letting that Playboy magazine that I found when I was 5 years old have an effect on my music. It couldn't never be 100% everything it could be, because I had to add that in, always. And it got to the point where literally I went from Jesus Walks to You're Such a F***ing Ho, I Love It. Mm-hmm. Oh, I bet you the devil was happy on that day. And where that record went, straight to what? Number one, quick. This is exactly what we want. This fit right in with whatever else we got. This fit right in with everything we got to deal with opioids. This fit right in with everything we got that promotes killing so that we can have more slaves in the mass incarceration. Mass incarceration never ended slave system. This fit right in.
Why did you make it?
Because I was asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was drowned. Because I was lost.
What do you want us to get from Jesus is King?
The title right there. The fact that everyone says that is enough. There was times we think about, well, let's call it Christ Jesus. You know, that's what the old folks say in the church. Let's call it this. You know what? Jesus is King is too affirmative, because Christians, we be out here because on one end, it's like, are we too judgmental? Are we not judgmental? Are we saying what we're supposed to say? Are we not? It's Christians, it's hard to have a position because we so drowned out by music and culture. Oh, that's not cool. Take that preaching over there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Christians that told me the title Jesus is King is too heavy-handed. Now people be hitting Quince like, man, when that J.R.K., when that's dropping?
Mm-hmm.
When that Jesus is King dropping? So there's an opportunity where people are coming for the music, but they may leave with salvation. It's easy, man. It's very simple. It is paradise or Fahrenheit.
I hear you. Either it's paradise or it's that hot get down.
Or it's Fahrenheit. And let me tell you, it's like, working for God. I told you 10 years ago, it's all I ever want to do. Now I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Kanye West has declared that he is running for president of the United States. Now, we're going to find out in the coming days if this is serious or whether it's a publicity stunt. Some people are saying it's just a publicity stunt, but I don't think it is. I think the man's serious. The question is, how serious does he form a campaign that attracts a wider circle of support? But if this thing starts moving in the coming weeks, Mr. Biden and Mr. Trump have serious trouble. Both parties have trouble. Both parties could disappear. You know, there are times in the American history, Edward, that parties disappeared.
That's right. Yeah.
When's the last time you heard of the Whig Party?
Been a while. And
we had a know-nothing party.
Right.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
We had the
could be the two parties we have now.
We had the Democrat-Republicans at one time.
That's right.
They were one party.
And the Bull Moose Party, too, right?
Yes, they had the Bull Moose Party. So there have been parties that have come and gone. And we may see the Democratic Party disappear and the Republican Party disappear, because this is a time of major change. And change is either going to be very negative and possibly violent. If Satan has his way, he's going to take it to violence. And he's going to take this country away from God. But the Holy Spirit may do the most unusual thing. And that's why I'm not ruling out Kanye West. I don't see anything else happening on the horizon right now.
To me, I'm just thinking of the consternation that he would cause among leaders in the evangelical community. They wouldn't know who to endorse, because Kanye West is speaking more about God.
Yes.
And about more of the things that most Christians are aligned with than our current president. And I know there are people out there who say, our president, he's the righteous thing. Listen, we're touting, homosexuality in the embassies. abortion is still being funded by the federal government and could be stopped today with one signature.
And the major push of the Trump administration in foreign policy has been the state of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right, so it is what it is. Look, our hope is not in any man.
That's right.
No election is going to save the country. The country isn't Christian. The population is Christian. And if you're going to change the country, you have to preach the gospel and more people have to believe on the name of Jesus. But what you could have happening here is Kanye West could lead tens of millions of young people in this country to Christ.
That's right.
From the White House.
And don't you want that?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Don't you want that?
Yes. That's why I'm fascinated by this. I'm fascinated by it. I was on the Trump train in 2015, long before Steve Strang and Bob Jeffers and all those people. Well, I think Bob Jeffers was on pretty soon, pretty early.
But it still took a lot of a long time.
I was there in 2015, and I said, this guy's going to win. He's going to be the president of the United States. I believe that the Lord told me that he was a doorstop. Yeah. That's how I saw him, a doorstop. A rubber stop, you know, an object that stops a door from closing. That door was judgment. And that's what I saw. I saw a hand dropping a doorstop between the door and the frame. And I believe that's what Donald Trump was. A lot of people have tried to tell me Trump himself was the reprieve. No, he wasn't. No, the reprieve is repentance.
Yes, they're putting their salvation in a man.
The reprieve, God's reprieve of judgment for this country was based on the people repenting, thinking a new way, turning from the way they think and act, new behavior, returning to righteousness. That was the purpose of the reprieve. And Donald Trump has not contributed to that desire of God in any major way. And the body of Christ corporately in this country has not contributed to it. They took that opportunity and they wasted it on promoting the state of Israel. That's the hard facts. The religious right in this country was not interested in stopping abortion. They were not interested in traditional values. They were interested in moving the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. They were interested in annexation of the Golan Heights and the West Bank. That's what they wanted. That's the only reason they support Donald Trump today. If Donald Trump came out against annexation, the religious right would drop Donald Trump.
Yes.
They've already warned him. In the past 2 weeks, they've warned him.
Yes.
Mike Evans did it.
Mike Evans. John Bolton made that warning as well. It said that a second term of Donald Trump would be dangerous for Israel. John Bolton.
Dangerous for Israel.
So, right. So there are cracks in that wall that are occurring.
So I'm not ruling out that the Holy Spirit throws a curveball.
And that would be a curveball.
In this election, and we elect Kanye West as president of the United States in November. How could it get worse, though? Tell me how it could get worse.
How could it get weirder? I mean, that.
But how could it get worse? It's going to get worse. I mean, you can tell me things are going to, under President Kanye West, it would be worse than under Joe Biden or Donald Trump.
No,
it could only get better.
Yeah, it can only get better at this point, and the government may screech to a huge halt because of the lack of experience. That's good. No more pork fat bills. No more multiple executive actions that have nothing to do with the actual agendas that you campaigned on.
Well, we know under a future President West that Alan Dershowitz is not going to tell the president that the military can drag people out of their homes and plunge a vaccine needle in their arm. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, because he said the
Dr. Fauci isn't going to
put the chips inside of us.
Fauci's not going to be there in the White House under President West. Bill Gates isn't going to be promoting his immunity passport under a President West.
Rick, you almost sound like you're ready to go on the campaign trail there, are you?
I'm getting, the more I'm thinking about it, I'm getting excited. I may just go home and make my West for President sign and put it in my front yard. All right. Hey, that's it for today. Thank you so much for watching True News. Hey, I haven't said anything for a while.
Yes.
Final day. That's what it's really all about. Not the election day. It's final day. That's what we're working towards, all of us. The last day. And man, are we moving fast as a planet, as a world. The human race is on a fast track rendezvous with the final day, the very last day. As I've said before, there are thousands of books about the last days. I think this is the only book about the last day. Singular. The last day of the last days. I can't think of anybody else who's written a book about the very last day. That's what this book is about. It's not about the last days. It's about the last day. That's what makes this book different. It's different from any other end-time book you've ever read. It will blow your mind. It will change the way you think about the second coming of Jesus Christ. You'll never be able to get this stuff out of your head. You know why? Because it's the Word of God that's in this book.
You're not going to want it out of your head.
You won't want it out of your head. It will revolutionize your thinking about the second coming. It'll simplify it. It'll make it easy for you to understand the second coming. You'll never say, I'm confused about all this stuff. Like, I don't understand it. No, you will understand. It's so simple because it's the Word of God. The book is $29.95 plus shipping. Go to truenews.com, TRUNEWS. Click the banner at the top of the page. You can get the book at $29.95 plus shipping. Or if you would like my personal autograph in blue ink, I always sign them in blue ink. I want you to know that I did it myself. It's blue ink, and I'd love to sign it for you. We're asking for a donation of $100. And the money is supporting the work of True News. And we appreciate everybody who has ordered the book. Many of you have ordered 5, 10, 20 copies of this book to hand them out to people. That's your way of witnessing. That's your way of saying to the people you love, Jesus Christ is coming back. Read this book. Jesus Christ is coming back. So do it and let the Lord use you. He'll tell you who to hand the book to. But you got to have them in your possession. Get 5 or 10 of them. I think a case, I want to say 24 in a case. Get a case. We'll send a whole case to you. All right? And some people are having me autograph 10, 20 copies. I'll be glad to do that. Go to truenews.com and order it. You can call the number on the screen, 1-800-576-2116. Or you can send a check or money order to Post Office Box 690069 in Vero Beach, Florida, 32969. If you send a check, please add an extra $10 for shipping. It will help us a lot. Thank you so much. We'll be back here tomorrow. God bless.
God bless you.